Hello. Anybody out there? It's time for another episode of the ATX Architects Podcast. So I'm talking at you. I am your host, Mickey Peevler. On today's show, we have singer, songwriter, Miranda Rose. She is brand new to the biz. She went about recording her album a little different than a lot of people, or at least a lot of people that I meet, and that she self-funded the entire thing and, you know, therefore owns all the rights, doesn't owe anybody anything when the record sells, that kind of thing. She has also very graciously offered 5 copies of this album. It is the eponymous album, Miranda Rose by Miranda Rose, to the first 5 people who contact us. So, you don't need anything from me to get one. Just go to the website, find our email. It's info@atxarchitects.com, by the way. Write me an email, ask for one. If you're one of the first 5, you get an album. I'll send it to you anywhere on the globe. I may come to regret that, but that's what I'm saying for now. Okay, that's about it. I think that's all the announcements I have. But come back after the interview, and if I think of anything else, I'll tell you then. We'll see you then. This is Miranda Rose. So, let's start with Austin. Why Austin?
Why
you
Austin?
Think that's a good question?
Then. I think it's a relevant question.
Okay, why Austin?
I usually ask people why Austin when I meet them as well.
Because nobody's from Austin. Perhaps you've noticed.
I have noticed that.
Yeah.
It's kind of the place to be right now.
It is.
I mean, it's a hot spot.
It is. How long have you been in Austin?
I've been in Austin a few months now, but originally from California,
mm-hmm.
Born and raised in LA County, and moved to Orange County after high school, and then migrated this direction a few months ago.
Good.
And
how's it going so far?
It's going great.
Good.
I love it here.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of feels like home.
Good.
And every time I say that, I say I should write a song called Feels Like Home.
Yeah.
Just
it is kind of what you do.
Well, so. It is kind of what I do.
But, I mean, how long have you been a singer-songwriter? People hate that phrase, too. You're a singer-songwriter. No.
I've sang, been in love with singing my whole life.
Okay.
The songwriting part didn't come until much later.
Yeah.
I'd say around 2007.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Relatively recently.
Recently.
Well, I mean, were you performing professionally before that?
I was, but in a different environment, in a church environment. Huh? I grew up in listening to music in church. It's really kind of where my love for music grew. It started with gospel music and Amy Grant and
you're not the first person to come on that this show and have that experience.
Okay. BB and CC Winans,
uh-huh.
And just the whole gospel thing. I loved that. So I kind of cultivated my love for music and singing in that setting.
Okay.
And I had a pastor that actually took me under her wing. She kind of mentored me. She's a singer-songwriter, and I always kind of looked up to her, and she gave me lots of opportunities I had never had before.
Uh-huh.
She just, the first time I met her, she goes, you're a singer, aren't you? I never told her I was.
Really?
And she said, you're going to sing in my choir. And I said, I am. And she took me and introduced me to the choir director, and the rest was history.
So, are you sure she wasn't a con man of some kind?
I don't know. She knew something was up.
I guess.
She was feeling something, I guess.
Oh, but, that's great.
Yeah.
So, sang in the choir.
Yes.
Then what?
Well, you know, I've always had a real love and passion for people.
Uh-huh.
And I love talking to people about their dreams, their goals, and what they want to do in life, and what's stopping them. And most of the time, we're what's stopping us.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think that translated over into my music. And I remember this particular pastor had asked me, what's your vision? What's your dream? And I said, I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I know it's bigger than these 4 walls. And it has to do with people and loving people and encouraging them and inspiring them and letting them know that we're all born with an innate dream that's given to us, and I feel that it's our responsibility to figure out what that is and follow it, and maybe encourage them to not stop doing that, even though you may encounter obstacles and whatnot. Sometimes just the strength of having someone believe in you is what helps us get over those obstacles. I want to be that conduit. I want to be that person that's, you know, cheering you on the sideline. And I've found the most effective way for me to have impact is to convey that message through music, because music's so powerful.
Right. So, I mean, if we listen to some of your music, which we may just do later on, is that going to be a thread that runs through everything?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so. I have a motto or a mantra that I follow, and it actually came about, their song titles. They're titles of songs that I wrote together, and I say this to people a lot, but it's constantly believe your beautiful dreams forever. And they're all song titles. And so, yeah, you're definitely going to find that that thread and that chord throughout the music.
So, where have you been playing lately?
Actually,
are you just working, writing?
Working, writing. Austin's a new thing for me.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
I've loved every single person that I've met. And it was interesting coming to a new place that I'd never been, not really knowing anyone, and trying to discover ways to get connected quickly. And so what I did was I just started asking around town, going, listening to bands, meeting people's managers and asking, where do I need to get plugged in? And there was a congruency in what people were saying. Well, there's lots of really great networking groups for musicians.
Are you a wimp?
You know what? I hate that title, but I am a woman in the music professional society. Yes, I am. I'm like, have you ever met a woman that's a wimp?
No,
I have not either.
I'm sure it's meant to be ironic.
Yes, you're probably right. But yes, actually, I did. That's where I've made a lot of the connections with the people that are now my friends in this musical community.
Yeah.
For instance, Vanessa Lively.
Oh, yes.
And
former guest.
Yes. And she's a great performer, and she's the one who has helped cultivate some of my relationships, which I'm very appreciative of.
Great. Do you think there's something, you know, now having been here not that long, only a couple months, and this is that question that I swore I wouldn't ask anymore, but it seems relevant this time. You know, so far, does it seem like being in Austin has changed your writing style, your writing method, your inspirations, anything like that?
Being in Austin has just gotten me excited, although people aren't really hearing my music live yet, which we'll get to that in a minute because that is the sole purpose of coming here.
Sure.
I'm excited about the people that are here and the opportunity that's available, because one of the main reasons why I came to Austin was, other than it being the live music capital of the world in the sense that there's a lot of music here and there's a lot of festivals and whatnot, there are a lot of people here that love music.
Mm-hmm.
I know if you've heard the saying before, he who has ears, let him hear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a necessity for a singer-songwriter.
Right.
You know, I have a voice. I need ears to be able to hear what I have to say, and the ears are here.
Right.
So that's why I came here.
That makes sense. Do you want to play a song?
I would love to.
Okay. Oh, and you know what? Let's also mention what we're going to do with this stack of CDs over here.
Absolutely.
So what should we say? The first five people who write to us after this episode, and they can find my info at the website, www.atxarchitects.com. First five people who write to us are going to get your CD.
They are.
Not your only CD, but a CD.
How many
CDs do you have?
I have two albums. I finished a second project. I have yet to release it and do the artwork for it or anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually considering releasing each song as a single.
Oh.
But this is my baby. This is the reason why I came here.
Right.
It's my self-titled debut album.
Okay.
I'm here to promote that. These are the songs you're going to hear me playing around town.
Okay, great.
And my first song is All In, and I would love for you to play that one.
Let's play it right now.
Great.
The same deal from you.
Okay, so that was all in. What is, you know, the inspiration? What was the, where did it come from?
It's a great story. So I had this amazing opportunity to do some work with an entertainment label. And part of that job, I was doing marketing for them. I had a business partner at the time, and we had a marketing firm, and we were raising money for a campaign they were running. And I had a bunch of millionaires and billionaires, believe it or not, about 11 of them, and I had to give a presentation. And this was a cool story. I actually ended up, instead of starting the presentation by tapping a fork or spoon on a glass of water, I decided I was going to start it with a song. I was going to sing a cappella. And without considering the people that were actually in the room, some pretty magnificent people, I was going to sing Your Song by Elton John. And the man who discovered Elton John just happened to be in the room, so I was a little intimidating. So I remember going to the bathroom and giving myself a little pep talk in the mirror. I looked at myself and I said, you're so going to do this. And sang it a cappella in the bathroom. I said, oh, it sounds great. Which, what doesn't sound great? You know, you hear people, I'm a singer, I sing in the shower. That's right. It does sound good in there. So that gave me a little courage, and I went out there and I just sang the song. At the end of this presentation, this gentleman, his name is Russ Regan, came up to me and gave me the world's greatest compliment. He told me, you have perfect pitch. You have a beautiful voice. I didn't even know you could sing. Well, I had been working with these people. Of course, they didn't know I could sing. We're promoting another artist. The artist we were promoting, who is now my friend, who actually sang on this album with me, Scott Grimes, was in the room too. And he was like, wow, you can sing. Through those relationships, I got approached with an opportunity to do an album. Wow. It was this first album, and it was with some industry greats.
Yeah.
Well-known musicians that have Grammys and really knew what they were doing.
Right.
And it was a whirlwind. It was an adventure of a lifetime, and they were bringing in investors, and they were bringing in writers, and I kind of, at this moment, felt like my whole dream was being handed to me on a silver platter.
Yeah.
And through the excitement, I stopped and I just took a big step back and I said, well, wait a minute. I've dreamt of this moment my whole life, and I really didn't see it happening this way. I never thought my songs would be stuff other people had written about other people's experiences, and then I would have to try and convey those, you know, through a type of music and have it have feeling and meaning to me, but they weren't things I'd experienced. So I told the producers this, and they were like, whoa, wait a minute. You're not a professional singer-songwriter, you know, right. You don't have any music, and, you know, we're in the studio in 18 days, and we need 10 songs. So if you can get back here in 10 days with 10 songs, then we'll listen to what you have to say.
Yeah.
And I just remember driving back to Orange County from L.A., and I cried the whole way. And I went home, and I put my head on my desk, and I said, Lord, I totally prayed, I know there's music in me. Help for it to come out.
Uh-huh.
I just felt kind of stuck. I knew what I wanted to have happen, but I wasn't really sure how to make that happen. And my husband said, we're going to do this the right way or we're not doing it at all. All I know is I'm all in. And I said, that sounds like a really great song title.
Yeah.
So I literally sat at the desk that same night and I wrote that song in about 15 minutes. And it's about taking a risk, taking a chance on something you believe in, mm-hmm. regardless of the odds. And I really want people to believe in themselves. So this is a great song for me to be able to sing to people, because if you knew you couldn't lose, wouldn't you bet it all?
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And So that's how I wrote the song, and it just came out. It flowed naturally. I wrote 10 songs in 10 days. I went back. I sang them a cappella in front of these producers. They liked every single one of them, and we put them on the album.
Wow.
So it worked out. And I haven't stopped writing since.
Yeah.
So
that's a pretty impressive story of the development of a songwriter. So it was clearly there the whole time.
It was. You know, I've always written... I've interviewed people. I've done marketing campaigns for people,
right.
Come up with slogans and stuff like that for people, written short stories and poetry, and I've always been in love with music.
Yeah.
And so this is just kind of a melding of all of those things I enjoy doing together. So I love being a songwriter.
Yeah.
I love that it works for me now. I feel like, oh, this is what I should have been doing all along.
Right. This is a studio album. You just mentioned that, right?
This is a state-of-the-art, tens of thousands of dollars into this project studio album. Yeah. Yes. And so, people need to hear this album.
Well, and by the way, five people will, definitely. you know, you went back and sang this thing a cappella.
I did.
You had put the melodies with the music.
I did.
Right. So, but then is somebody coming to you and saying, now here's how we're going to arrange it. Here's how we're going to instrument it. Did you have a producer that was?
I had a producer. I had an executive producer. And actually, I had two producers. They worked this project together. I had final say. And it's really funny when you're putting something together and you only know melodies and harmonies, you're not creating the instrumentation yourself.
Right.
To try to explain to a musician the sound that you hear in your head to get them to make that for you in reality.
Right.
I wrote a song that's not on this album. It's on my second album. And there's a sound in it, and I just heard it clear as day. It's a song that needed some magic. I go, it needs some magic in it. It needs like that fairy. This sounds nothing like the type of music that I do, but it was the sound I wanted. Like a fairy's wings, like a Tinkerbell sound, like a magic sound, like something Disney-esque. Uh-huh. And so we went through all different types of chime sounds, and it was this whole process until we got it. And I'm like, it needs to be a little higher. Until we got it, I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, Eureka. Something so simple as that when you're not really certain how to create it yourself. But what we ended up doing with this, I had an opportunity to work with somebody who's a good friend of mine now who I absolutely adore, who's a guitar player, and I really admire him and look up to him. His name is Jay Gore, and he's played with amazing people in the industry. He's touring with a jazz saxophone player right now named Mindy Abair. She's amazing as well. And I sat with him, and I sang my songs to him, and we road mapped the chords with the guitar, and then we layered and layered and layered. And when we were in the studio and working with professionals, I mean, these guys were knocking songs out in minutes.
Right.
It just kind of all flowed together, just came together really quickly and beautifully.
How would you describe the style of music? And I'm happy to start with, like, if you know how you describe it, that's good. Go nuts. But it's okay if we want to start with a label like folk and then break down why that doesn't
work. Sure. Well, you know, funny thing about Austin, again, it's such a funny place. Not really. It's just when you're dealing with a city that's all about music, they have their way of conveying things. And when you ask people, what kind of music do? They have this whole way of expressing that.
Oh, yeah.
But in the radio world, you categorize yourself, and they're very specific about how you categorize it. So radio world talk, professional label talk would be hot AC, adult contemporary music. This would be like top 40 stuff you'd hear when you turn on the radio.
Okay.
Okay. But for me, how I like to express my style of music is it's everything I grew up with. So it's rock and roll, it's pop, it's contemporary, it's country. It's what I like to hear. And that's not all that I listen to or everything I listen to. I listen to all different styles of music, but mainly it's an incorporation of all my favorite styles. So I like to write music that is singable. You know, people that, whether it's your style of music or not, you end up enjoying it because you can sing along and enjoy the music in a much deeper way than as if you were just listening to me sing it to you. And you become part of the music and what's happening, and you're connecting with the words, and you're feeling the emotion, and you're having experience at that point. And the songs become part of you. I wrote these songs for all the people that are going to listen to them, and I want them to enjoy them as if they know that they're theirs. They belong to you. So that's what I think will make you want to play these songs over and over again. They make you feel better. They make you feel inspired. They make you feel beautiful and confident and alive. You know, they might make you run faster if you're jogging and you got it in your iPod. It might make you sing louder or dance harder. It just makes you feel alive and good about who you are, and it makes you confident and happy. And that's the style of music that I write.
I like it. Do you want to play one more?
I would love to.
What do you want to play this time?
Let's play Believe.
Believe.
Believe, that's a great song.
Do you want to tell us something about this one?
Yeah, Believe is about not everything's not always going to be perfect, but there are fundamentals in your life that you need to hang on to, the keys, if you will. And for me, they're loving hard, laughing, and praying.
Okay.
And that usually helps me through pretty much everything.
All right, let's listen to Believe. Okay, so this album, yes. Miranda Rose.
Miranda Rose.
Do you have a sense of what the next one's going to be called?
You know what, I don't. Yeah, that's not true. Depends on how I release it. If I release some singles, obviously they'll be the song titles. Right. If I release it as an entire album, it will probably be called either The Promise or Heart-Shaped Garden, which are two song titles as well.
Okay, I don't know Jack about music or the music business, okay. But are there types of music, some that are made just to be recorded, some that are just to be played live, some that can be both, and whatever the answer to that question is, how do you fit into all those categories?
Well, my belief system is that you should only create music that you can perform live.
Okay.
And the reason being, there's so much controversy, and there has been over the years in musical circles about people that are really entertainers, really artists, really performers, studio produced stuff versus non-studio produced stuff. For me, it doesn't matter. As long as I got a positive message, you're not just sticking garbage in your ears and letting it come out your mouth, then I say go for it. Listen to that kind of stuff. But for me personally, I will not create music that I cannot perform live.
Okay.
I remember the first time I saw an artist that kind of changed my whole idea of music and how to do music. Because before I never really thought about it in depth, but your question sparked this in me. I saw a performer who I knew as an actor. Didn't know them as a singer or songwriter. Mm-hmm. And I'd heard of him and I'd seen him on TV and in films. And when I heard him singing, I was blown away. I had heard his album and then I went and saw a concert and I was excited. I was like, wow, you sang all the songs on your CD, but you just destroyed that CD that I've heard. I mean, you are 10,000 times better live than you are even recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to be. I was like, don't auto-tune me. Don't, you know, let's do it over and over. Let's do it till we get it right. And if it's not right and I sound off key or whatever the case may be, then leave it. Because I want to be better live. When people hear me, I want them to say, wow, that same thing. You're amazing live. You know.
What is it that makes, and, you know, I am in a weird category of human being. in that I honestly don't listen to a lot of music.
Really?
I really don't. Mm. And I can't explain why. We could probably go into years of therapy and maybe figure out why. But I don't know why. So when somebody says to me, and I hear this all the time, you got to see them live. They're so much better live. What is it? What is it that makes it better live?
It's what I talked about. I think it's more about an experience. You know, sometimes you can be having a conversation with someone and you hear what they're saying. You're listening, but you don't really hear
right.
what they're saying.
Right.
I think that you kind of force yourself in a live environment to participate. The music's all around you. You can feel it. You can see it. It's all your senses,
yeah.
as opposed to maybe just driving in the car, thinking about what you're going to pick up at the grocery store while you're listening to a song on the radio.
Right.
I think it can pull you into a whole completely different frame of mind.
When you perform live, actually, you know, the stuff, how is the album, what's the word? What's the instrumentation on the album? And then how does that compare to the live experience?
It's really similar, actually, because we recorded everything in the studio live, and that was the first tapings of everything, and we kept most of those recordings.
Oh, really?
Which is really fun when you have all the instrumentation in the same room and you're singing.
Is that a unique way to record an album?
You know what? That was my first one, so I don't really necessarily know.
No, and it's exactly how everybody does it all the time, as far as you know.
Actually, most people that I know don't have like a full-blown professional album done. A lot of people that I'm meeting, which you don't have to
right.
for it to be great, but most of the people are engineering their own sounds in their basements and in their living rooms.
A lot of the guys who've been on the show have done living room studios, and they sound great.
I am not skilled enough to be able to do that
right.
on my own, so this was the experience that I had.
Right.
And so we had drums. And I should drop names of all the people that worked on this album because they did a really hard job and they do deserve it. But
right.
Robin DiMaggio played drums on my album and he also co-produced my album and he's played with numerous people. You can look him up on the internet.
Okay.
Jay Gore, who I mentioned before, who played guitar, and he did layer after layer. I mean, he really did the work of four or five guitar players.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these songs, we went back and did extra takes of just the guitar parts of them, and we have four and five different types of guitars in some of these songs, which is impressive. I had a bass player named Alex Al. I had a piano keyboard player named Michael Bearden, who has worked with some amazing people. And full band type of scenario. My second album actually had strings, so I had some violin players and some other things, which from a live perspective, I would love to be able to do those songs live.
Right.
I'll just have to meet me a couple great violin players, I guess, for one or two songs. But
was the, you know, it sounds like, you know, when you were writing the songs on the first album,
mm-hmm.
it sounds to me like they were in there the whole time and you just had to be forced to get them out. But
you're right.
Was that the same with the second one, or was it harder work?
You know what? Sounds silly to say this. It hasn't been hard. It's kind of like you said. I mean, they've always been in there, and it's almost like the bottle was opened and now it's just overflowing.
Yeah.
So, I write about day-to-day things, things that happen, not just in my life, things I see, things that happen in other people's lives. They spark interest in me. I'll give you an example. I have a niece and she's so sweet. We were having a conversation one time and she did something she knew she shouldn't have done. We won't get into what it was, but, she felt bad and she's like, "Sissy, my tummy hurts," you know? And I'm like, "Well, why is your tummy hurt?" You know? And I already knew she'd done it. So she's like, "Well," and she told on herself. And right. I was like, "Well, let's talk about what's at the root of that. You have a conscience and it's inside of you and there's your thinker and your doer and your feeler. And, sometimes you get feelings that you shouldn't ignore. And if you ignore them, and you do something you know you're not supposed to do, you'll feel it. Sometimes you'll feel sad. Sometimes you'll feel bad when you talk to that person. If you did it to a person, sometimes your tummy hurts. So we talked about that and I was like, wow, I was by myself and I was talking, I got a phone call from a girlfriend and she was talking to me about something that happened to her and, some promiscuity. She thought, you know, this guy loved her and she ended up sleeping with him and, she was just crushed. And so I prayed with her on the phone all this happened in the same day. And I was sitting here thinking, wow, you know, she said, I kind of had a feeling and I kind of ignored it and I did this anyway. And now it's blown up in my face. And I'm sitting here thinking, if you do that in your life long enough, you become callous to that sound and to that voice and you don't listen to it anymore. And then you create chaos in your life. And I really should write a song about this. So I wrote this song. And it's about all those things. They didn't happen to me, but they happened around me. And there were conversations that I had. And I haven't recorded this song yet, but I absolutely am going to the second I get an opportunity to. And I'll sing some of it for you a cappella if you want, actually. Not that we're in a studio. But it's called I Had a Feeling I Ignored. And it says, never should have stayed the night. What was wrong? We couldn't make it right. Looking back, had a feeling I ignored. Should have made you drive me home, but I didn't want to be alone. Looking back, had a feeling I ignored. So that's how I write a song.
That's good. That's a pretty complete synopsis of the process.
Hey, for people who don't know, you know, kind of stuff they
everybody
want
to does hear. It different. You know, I off air, we were talking about. I interview people who do all kinds of stuff, and I've yet to find two people who do the same thing who do it the same way.
Yeah, I mean, when I sat down with the producers from this first album and we talked about writing processes, I mean, they were standing up in the living room of this gentleman's home in the Hollywood Hills, and he's like, wow, this is incredible. I can't believe that you did this way. I mean, this is your story. This is what's unique. This is what sets you apart. This is what makes you different from everybody else out there that's doing this. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. So, you know, when you think you don't have enough skill, enough talent, enough knowledge to be able to follow your dream or do what's on your heart to do, you'll find out, hey, I can do this. I've got the skills just the way that I am. As long as I'm truly being me, then things can happen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this whole thinging thing started with the choir, right?
Right. Well,
your pastor who identified you, who saw through you clearly, and saw the singer.
Yeah.
I mean, do you still sing with the choir? Do you still sing with the...
I don't sing with the choir here in Austin, although I do go to church. I came to Austin to do the music I feel has been entrusted to me and make sure that it ends up where it's supposed to end up, meaning the people that are supposed to hear it end up having opportunity to hear it. And so that's what I'm doing in Austin with the music.
Yeah.
So it's really about finding the right venues to play at and the right people to play with.
Yeah. Have you started to identify that group, or are you still struggling?
I've discovered places, you know, I would like to play. And obviously, you know, you want to play all the festivals. And I know there's a protocol on how to work your way up to that apparently here in Austin.
Oh,
but
okay.
I've gone to see a lot of people play, and then you kind of find out what venues play what style of music. For me, it's more about obtaining musicians that are like-minded,
right,
that can get behind this type of project with this type of message,
right,
and be passionate about what they're playing. I think that's really important. I think that if you do what you love and you're passionate about it, prosperity will follow that. And so it's just about staying surrounded with like-minded people, positive people, people that want to make a difference in their community and in their environment and have an impact. And finding musicians that also want to do the same thing.
Right.
That's kind of been a challenge, but I mean, I'm still new here, so I'm kind of navigating through how Austin works. It's full of, you got your studio musicians, and then you've got your bands that will be sidemen,
right,
that you can hire to play with you. Then it's navigating through the venues that actually will pay you so that you're not spending $300, $400, $500 just to do a live performance. Right. And I'm finding that that's a big thing here in Austin. I'm just trying to navigate my way through that a little bit.
I didn't know that.
It's very different than L.A.
Yeah. Interesting. How about we play one more song?
All right. Let's play Portrait of Life, but let me tell you a little bit about the song.
Yes. Okay.
So I had this opportunity. It was supposed to be an opportunity, and I wanted to prepare myself for it. Someone I know was writing the score for a film, and it was a Salvador Dali movie.
Okay.
And I don't know if they're still going to do it, but anyway, I started looking at all this artwork, and never having studied art or paintings or drawings or anything like that, I started looking at a lot of Salvador Dali work, which if you know who he is, I probably thought a lot of the same things people that don't know his work think. And I was like, what was he thinking when he drew this? And, you know, I was wondering what was going through his mind. And I was sitting on the beach, and I just said, I'm going to write a song. And I'm going to ask that question, like, what are you thinking? The day before, I'd had a conversation with a friend of mine who is a singer-songwriter who said, no one ever really writes a song with the intent of it being a duet. Like, you'll just write a song, and then it might end up being a duet, it might end up not being a duet, but no one ever just sits down and says, I'm going to write a duet. So that day, I was sitting on the beach. I had been looking at this artwork, and I knew I needed, you know, to write some type of song. And I said, you know what? I'm going to write a duet just because I was told that something people don't do. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do it. So I said, I'm going to write a duet, and I'm going to write it with this person in mind to sing it with me. And I'm going to write about life and what it looks like through my eyes. Like, if you could see what I'm seeing, if you could experience what I'm experiencing, if you could see my dreams and my hopes and my beliefs, what would that look like to you? And so I wrote the song, It's Portrait of Life. I had the privilege of having somebody I really look up to perform it with me on my album. That's Scott Grimes. And that's the song I would love for you to share with everybody.
Let's share it. Hey, and Miranda Rose, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Mickey. I really appreciate it. And just if I could say something to everybody before I go, I just want to remind you to constantly believe your beautiful dreams forever. And until next time, shine on.
Thanks a lot. Life as I've explained it.
much I love you. When I'm sleeping, you know I'm dreaming of you. That's what life's like from this point of view. Can I share it with you? Yeah. You get to see life. You get to see love. You get to see when I'm dreaming love. The world looks to me like all of these things, and I get to share them with you. They're captured in time for all eternity. What you really get to see is life is
everybody. That was our interview with Miranda Rose. Very nice lady. Was very happy to have met her. Had a nice time interviewing her. Make sure you go to all of her web outlets. Find out more about her. You can hear music. Remember to contact us if you'd like an album, a copy of her album, free of charge. No pre-postage necessary. Just look us up, info@atxarchitects.com, and we'll get a copy out to you. That's the first 5 people who do that. Who's next? I don't know. I don't know who the next show is. As usual, we'll let you know ahead of time. Make sure you go to the Facebook and the Twitter. That's where you're going to be able to find links to all of Miranda's stuff. And you can find links to all of that stuff at our website, www.atxarchitects.com. I think that's all the news we had. Had a good time at Grant Reed's opening. Nice of him to have invited us. Let's see. I guess that's all the news we got today. So once again, remind you, contact us if you want a copy of Miranda's album. Contact us if you want to be on the show. Contact us if you want to suggest somebody who should be on the show. Qualifications are you live in Austin and you're creative in some way. Okay, that's it. That is the ATX Architects podcast for today. I'm your host, Mickey Peebler. We'll see you next time.